Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey folks, this is Jason Lewis, the producer of the From the Shadows podcast. I just want to remind you about our website, fromtheshadowspodcast.com. We have a Facebook page. We would appreciate it if you like and follow. Also, join our discussion group on Facebook called After the Shadows. We have a Twitter feed. Please follow us on Twitter. It can be found with @podcast_from. Follow us on Instagram at From the Shadows Podcast. We have a YouTube channel. Go to the search bar of YouTube and put From the Shadows Podcast, and please subscribe to that channel. We are also on the Odyssey Radio Network, and we can be found there at odyssey1.com. We're still on the traditional podcatchers that everybody loves to listen to us on. We get a lot of feedback, so please rate the podcast and communicate with whether you're on Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or Google Podcasts. We're there, and we appreciate it when you leave comments for us. We also have a Patreon page. It can be found at www.patreon.com/from the shadows. You can receive books, stickers, coffee mugs, and special content just for our Patreon subscribers. Check it out for yourself and see what packages that we have to offer. Well, that's all I have for you right now, folks. And thanks for being a part of the From the Shadows podcast family. So with that being said, let's get this episode started.
Yay-ho.
Yay-ho. Now, what?
Yeah,
now,
you say it. Yay-ho.
That was yay-ho. You were telling me
Cabano.
About yay-ho. Cabano. Okay, so
you're
is that...
recording, so you better start talking.
Well, I am. I'm trying. You're interrupting me. I can't believe it.
Okay, go ahead.
So you were telling me... You told me to remind you that... Yeho? Is that what you're saying?
Yeho? I can't pronounce it, man. I don't know. This is, throw it out to the audience. What's the Cuban word for cocaine? Yeho, isn't it?
Yeho? I don't know. I think it is.
I mean, I think if you watch Scarface, they sing it. They say it a bunch and then they sing it. There was a guy in Minneapolis radio, not Tom Menard, but one of his sidekicks would. That's what he would call it when they would start talking about cocaine. He would always call it. He was a Jewish guy, so I don't know what he knew about. I mean, is there Jews in Cuba?
I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, do they? I don't know. But he would always mention it in Yayo. I mean, in the Cuban slang. You know, the audience is probably wondering why we're talking about cocaine, and I was going to say specifically crackheads, right off the bat. Should we?
Yeah, we just kind of jumped right into crackheads.
Yeah, well, you know, that's because this is why I have a certain affection toward crackheads because I remember the 90s. Okay.
It's fair enough.
And so when I started in law enforcement, I went to law enforcement training in 1991. I was commissioned in 1992. Okay, and it was the land of jacked up Chevy Caprices with purple paint jobs, gold rims.
Yeah,
it was just a better. It was just a better time in America, right? It was just a better time in America because as bad as the crackheads were, they weren't. The times were not as bad in some of these places as they are today for whatever reason. You know what I mean? And they didn't have the necessarily the straight up violence you have now, excuse me, with some of the Latin American gangs and some, you know, a lot of them were just just dudes trying to make a living. You know what I mean? Trying to make a living. I remember talking at length with a kid that was my age. We're talking 21, 22, right?
Okay.
And he was, how do I tiptoe around some of this without getting too political? There was a wave of criminal justice reform in the 90s where the three strikes, you're out, and some of the stuff where some of these kids literally got life in prison for selling dope, right?
Yep.
Not necessarily in gang violence, not necessarily shooting it up, not necessarily anything, but because they the weight they had. So anyway, I remember talking to this kid, and here I talk about gang violence, and he was there because he was involved in shooting a guy. But he told me, he said, "Hey, this is the deal, man. It's just sheer economics. I got front of the dope. I go out and sell the dope, crack being specifically crack and cocaine. I go out and sell it, and then I get to keep a percentage of everything I sell. Just like dudes sell furniture on the floor. They sell cars on the car lot or whatever, and they get a percentage of that." And he said, "You know, I make between $600 and $1,600 a night, a day, every day." And this was a time when I was working for like $24,000 a year, right? So,
and that was his cut of it, or just what
he
made?
His cut was $600 a day. He said if he couldn't make $600 a day, he should have his ass kicked.
And you're talking in the 90s.
In the 90s. $600 a day. And this is what he said. And he said, "This is what happens, man. You know, I grew up with nothing. They tell me I got to bust my ass and go to school and make all these good grades and work twice as hard so I can sit somewhere in some bullshit job." He said, "You know, and he was selling for a guy named Mark that I would love to get on the pod." You know what I mean? There's some days I think the podcast I need to have is the old crook podcast, right? Because knock on wood, I have a better rapport with some of the people that I watched go to jail or prison 25 years ago than I do some of our listeners in Nebraska. But, you know, that's just the way it is. So anyhow, he said, "Now my mom's got a, I bought my mom a house. I bought my grandma a house. I got a car. I got, for the first time in our lives, we got stuff." And, you know, the public defender's telling me that I need to give it up to, you know, go down here and get a job at Walmart making $3.50 an hour to look like I'm a reputable citizen. I'm not a reputable citizen. I'm a drug dealer, man, and I'm proud of it. And you know what's funny is there was, especially in those days, there was almost a pride in, I might sell dope, but I'm not a thief.
Yeah, you're exactly. You know what I mean? I remember that.
Yeah, I might shoot process. You for Owen. You know what I mean? I might kick your ass. I might burn your house. I might, but I'm not going to steal from you.
Yeah, and I'm only doing that because you stole from me. Because you're a thief. Because you're a thief.
Something that deal. So, I want to apologize for the Nebraska comment. For the listeners who don't know any better, we have a little team meeting. And I'm just going to throw this out to my fans. Shane, you guys do whatever you want, but my fans. It does you no good to get in an argument with our social media people because it ain't us. I hate to tell the audience that we're famous, but we're famous and we do not control our own Facebook page. Okay? A third-party provider does that. So when you get nasty with who you think is one of us, it ain't one of us. It's a girl trying to get her way through college or whatever. I don't even know who it is. I mean,
she's through college.
Okay. So she's through college, but it's not us. So when you get tough and mean, you're talking to a girl, dude. So, or whoever's out there. And I'm just going to leave it at that.
I get all the good stuff. And I interact with the good stuff.
Now, because I didn't want to leave that thing unsaid, because the few fans that I have had reach out to me personally, I've had nothing but good interactions with. So
almost everybody,
you are our third party provider, one or the other. But my fans are loving me. I mean, are not loving me per se. They're me, I'm them. You know what I mean?
That's right. That's right.
Okay. We were talking about the Coke in the 90s. You know what was big? Everybody saw, and not everybody, most people have seen the series Netflix, right? Our Netflix series Ozark, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't watched it all. I've watched a couple of them. I've got some personal issues with it because it doesn't accurately portray the world here. I think I've said it before. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I have a particular fan that reached out to me, and, you know, I said, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. And then we got talking about, you know, we were just talking about local stuff. You know what I mean? And, but to tell you the real Ozark, I did a traffic stop in 1996 or 97 as a state trooper. And the day after, or 2 days after, they called me on the radio and asked me to go immediately to the sheriff's office to contact the sheriff. So, in Missouri, like most states, the chief law enforcement agent in a county is the sheriff, because he is elected by the people. So you've got different jurisdictions, but in theory, by letter of the law, most everybody's subservient to the sheriff. Does that make sense? So I proceeded there because we had a wonderful sheriff, and I go in there and there's a couple of DEA guys there. Honest to God, DEA guys. Hey, you made this traffic stop. You stopped this guy. Yes. What did he talk about? Where was he going? They're asking me a bunch of stuff. Now, I do, when I stopped him and I ran him, he was on federal probation. He had a federal probation and parole hit for something, a money crime of some sort. So then these DEA guys proceed to tell me that, and this dude was a farmer at that time, had about 3,000 acres of North Missouri, which now it'd be worth, I don't even know what it'd be worth. Ton. I mean,
a lot of
3,000 acres.
Buy you a lot of cocaine.
A lot of cocaine. basically, these DEA guys were trying to say that the dude's farms were just money laundering operations.
Yeah, which coming from a farming family, if you're gonna money, not that I'm not trying to say I've seen any money laundering, but I can see how if you owned a big enough farm, some stuff might slip through the cracks.
Because, and you know what's funny is, so the dude that reached out to me today, I've been doing the Lord's work all week, we're trying to rebuild my son's four wheeler, which is an off the topic. But we had such a good response last week for our word salad when we weren't story salad, when we weren't directed. So
we were kind of meandering.
So periodically, as I'm rebuilding this Suzuki LTZ 400, so we can take it out to the Arizona desert next week and he can tear it up again. That's about, you know, I'm going to toil for about a month for something that's probably going to last about 2 days if I'm lucky. But he mentioned something about movies and some other stuff. And that's really where the Ozarks is layered in so many ways that show just didn't really do us a service. Not necessarily a disservice, but didn't really do us a service. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because back in the 90s, me and my brother was talking about a guy, and I can't think of his name. So big farmer running this money through the farm. Prior to that, I had another farmer when I was working brand new, starting in a jail in 92. We had a farmer that was on work release, and the DA had come in and seized houses, about 13, arrested 30 some people, seized, I think 12 or 13 houses here in central Missouri. and basically was tracing this. I just remember talking to this guy at length. He was a first-time offender, so he was trying to make it sound to us like he was a good old boy, and he got caught with some weed, and it was for personal use. It happened to be 15 pounds. He sold hand-to-hand sale of 15 pounds of weed to some undercover guys, and he was crying the blues because they painted him out to be this weed came from Pablo Escobar, basically. And he was what? And he was mad because he was saying, hey, when I go buy a microwave, I didn't, you know, General Electric, I didn't get it from Jack Welch. There's a whole lot of damn people between me and this guy. You know? So since he was a first time offender, they give him a year in the county jail, which to old heads, you know, county jail time is worse than prison time. But we would have to let him out every day at 6 o'clock so he could go. He was a union carpenter. I don't think he was a laborer. I think he was a carpenter. And we would have to let him out at 6:30 in the morning, and 3 or 3:30 he would come back, and you'd have to see where there was parking. The metered parking stopped at 5:30 or 6. I think 5:30, and he would have to not get in his parking space before 3:30 and load it up to get him past the 3:30 to 5:30. So his truck could sit there all night, you know, a half a block from the courthouse, so he wouldn't get a ticket overnight. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So here this dude was busted by the DEA, 15 pound hand-to-hand transaction. And he was worried about his parking meter, was his biggest pain in the ass, was worrying about his, you know, loading it up for the parking meter later every day. I wish I could remember his name because he doesn't live too far from me here. And it wouldn't bother me to drive over and talk to him. Hey, you remember when you got busted and I talked to you in jail every day for a year? Because he would, you know, he's just a dude, you know. Sometimes I had read something about dudes, you know, what working undercover or whatever, you know, and they said that sometimes you have more in common, you know, or the people, some of the people you arrest are nicer, or you get along with them better than some of your coworkers, and that's true, especially in the 90s when the crooks were better.
Now we started talking about crackheads, okay, mm-hmm. And it reminded me of going to the prom when I was a junior. Now the tie-in is last night, Christy and I went to a basketball game that Izzy was playing in, and the school that we were at is a girl I went to school with. She married a guy from this town, and her daughter plays at this high school that Izzy was playing against. And you know, the girl, I went to school with the girl, went out with the girl for a little bit. Like I said, we went to the prom. She sat down right there beside Christy. They talked like they were best friends. Her husband, you know, it's 30 years removed. Okay. It's not like, although my ex-wife would have probably thought that I was still trying to date the girl. You know, that was my ex-wife's problem. But anyway, so as we left the school after the game, and Christy was saying, she you know, she's a really nice girl, you know, and whatever. And I said, yeah. I said, we went to prom. I said, I had a really sweet tux. And it was, remember you said crackheads reminded me, it was Miami Vice. So I had one of those Miami Vice inspired tuxedos. You know, that was blue, yeah. Maybe with the pinstripes. And look, man, I don't know if I was Crockett or Tubbs, but I didn't pull either one of them off. But so when we started talking about crackheads, I that took me right back to that prom night when I dressed like a guy from Miami Vice.
You know? I thought you were going to tell me they pulled out the crack at the prom.
No, listen.
I mean, when I was a kid, that was the whole purpose of getting crack at the prom, but that's a different kind of crack. You know, different, still all white where I went to school, but
Times have changed, my friend.
Well, you know, I was, what I started to say was I was surprised that after 30 years, because I see people all the time. That's why I love the mask. I mean, I probably told my listeners, I've got a mask with me all the time because I put it on. That way I can avoid people I don't want to talk to. I see people I grew up with, and a lot of times they don't even recognize me.
Yeah,
you've stayed there your whole time. You know, life, right? So everybody still recognizes you.
Everybody still recognizes me. And even though this is, you know, 40 minutes away, it's still.
Or maybe that says more than me, because maybe they really know who I am and the joke's on me, right?
I
think I'm dodging the mask, and it's they're really dodging me for good.
They're dodging you.
For real. You know, what I started to say when you talk about prom and you talk about the 90s and crack. This is a complete off the subject story, but there was a bar called the Welcome Inn there in my hometown. And it was an old fashioned blue collar bar that served breakfast in the morning. Like they opened it at 6:30 or 7 and they served breakfast, right?
Just like the crazy fox in Bucyrus. Best breakfast in town.
So, but I had never knew, but what happened is the old, like Korean World War II veteran or whoever that ran it all them years died. So it changed hands right about the time I was getting into law enforcement. And it's about 10 blocks from the Capitol, about 6 blocks from the courthouse, 5 blocks from the police department. And it was like old detectives and stuff would go by. I don't know. You know, when they needed to talk to, you know what I mean? When I was at the tail end of the working stiff cops in the beginning of the college cops. Does that make sense? And yeah. The working stiff cops were just, you know, dudes that, you know, their dads worked at the power plant or their, you know, somebody worked for Road and Bridge or the sewer department. And hey, the police department or the sheriff's department is going to start testing. So, you know, go get a good job. Don't work over here driving nails your whole life. You know what I mean? So there was a different flavor, but all that's to say is this bar, I mean, overnight got super popular on Friday and Saturday nights. And when I say super popular, because they had dance clubs. I mean, you remember clubs with, I mean, true dance music. Something come on the radio my son was listening to with the other day and satellite radio on the 90s channel. I don't remember what it was. And he said, "Do you remember this?" And I said, "Dude, I remember it like you can't even, like it was yesterday." And it was somebody's mixed tune, you know, dance tune. But this hole in the wall bar, the fire department had it capped at like 160 people or whatever, you know, not very much at all. Right.
Yeah.
And it got to be like it was a status symbol to get inside. Does that make sense? So there would be a line sometimes, 50, 60, 100 people out on the street.
For a little hole in the wall bar?
Yes. People trying to get in or like to see what was going on in there. And you get in there and it was this back when they smoked and it was nasty. It was just a smoky, hazy bar that was so tight you couldn't do nothing with once you got in there. You know what I mean? So why it was got popular there for about a year is beyond me, right?
Yeah.
But in that process,
crack? The four guys, was it crack? Was it because of crack?
Well, the crack. I want to. Yeah, because we're you know I told you we're 6-8 blocks from the center of law enforcement and state government in the state of Missouri, but you're 3 blocks from where the crack dealers live and projects. Yeah, but. So they had these bouncers that wouldn't let somebody in unless somebody left. Does that make sense? It was as close to being in a TV bar movie that you could see. Well, most of them knew who the cops were. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because either the cops. So if you were off duty and you walked over there, you could walk by 50 people, and when you walk, especially the one side door, when you walked, people would watch you walk by 50 of them, and they would let you in. And people would be screaming and hollering. Does that make, you know what I mean? So I remember going to meet a buddy of mine, and across the street was 7-Eleven and a parking lot, like a because there's only a couple parking spaces on the street. So in order to park there, you got to park across this, you know, you got to park away off site, you know, across the street is a 7-Eleven and a Milo H. Walls hardware store. But I was going to meet a friend of mine there. I walked past all, cause I didn't really hang out in bars too much, cause I didn't like to smoke really. And I just, you know, there just wasn't a whole lot for me in bars. But this particular night, I happened to walk past this line of people, walk to the bouncer. He immediately saw me, let me through. Okay. Well, number two or three or four people waiting was a chick that I had seen several times around at the other, you know, I'd just seen her around, you know. Well, the bar closes at one. Me and my buddy goes out, you know, and they call last call or whatever, and the crowd's kind of getting pushed out and poured out and all this other stuff. And you really can't mingle on the street. So me and my buddy's walking out, and he is leaving, going one way, and I'm going the other way. Now I'm parked right across the street, and I can tell you exactly what I had. I had a 1989 F-150 short bed extended cab, which they were brand new. I mean, they were new at the time. XLT Lariat. I can see it like it is like yesterday. And as I'm walking across, and it's starting to rain, so people are really not going to stay outside because it's raining. And as I'm crossing the street, that chick, number 345, whatever she was, she said, "Are you parked over here?" And I said, "Yeah." And I can't remember. I'm trying to remember her name because I used to know, at least know her first name. And I said, "Yeah, I'm right over here." And she said, "Do you mind me sitting in your car until my friend gets here?" And I said, "Yeah, why not?" And, you know, in my pickups, it's black and gray two-tone. I mean, it just looked like it was just a nice rig. So she gets in the passenger side, I get in the driver's side, and I started up naturally. And just out of the blue, she goes, "Oh, I can't believe you're going to, you know, that I was lucky enough to run into you. I don't have an umbrella. It's raining." She's doing making small talk or whatever. And I said, "Dad, don't worry about it. Where's your friend coming from?" "Well, she just left. She's coming right back." And I turned my truck. I made a U-turn in this parking lot to where I could face the street and across the street to the bar so we could see when her friend pulls up. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
And then out of the blue, out of her purse, she opens her purse and she says, "Hey, you want to do a couple bumps while we're waiting?" She pulls that eight ball right there and starts unwrapping it on, because this truck had bucket seats with a plastic console, you know? She wants to cut this thing up right there on the console of my truck. She's completely clueless of who I am for anything. And I said, "You know, I'm probably not right now. I'm driving, you know, it makes me paranoid. Shit like that makes me paranoid. The cops are right around, just right here." She goes, "Okay, well, I didn't want you to think I wasn't going to share." And I said, "No, that's cool. I appreciate it, you know." And the only thing I can think of, so she put it back in her purse. Her friend pulls up. She jumps out and leaves. And the only thing I can think of, she thought I was a made man the way where the bouncers let me in. That makes it, when I say made man, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? The... Because there was two things. You were either crook or cop.
And you didn't, you know, look like
sometimes,
a cop.
Hey, sometimes that line's blurred. Do what?
and you didn't look like a cop, so you know.
I think she thought I was too stupid, you know. I don't know, who knows? Maybe I don't look like one. Or maybe it was some kind of, she's probably some DEA agent that was like some kind of sting.
They were trying to set you up.
Yeah, who knows? I don't know. You know? Yeah, that's the 90s, man. That was the 90s. I miss it. No cell phones, no social media. No, what else?
No people badgering you on Facebook.
I'm going to tell one other 90s crack story.
Might as well, man.
Airbags had first come out, and I tell these stories to my kids because they like hearing them. Remember airbags first came out, And in the early 90s, all the cop cars, they went from the square body Chevy Caprice. Like my very first cop car, take home cop car, was an 89 Chevy Caprice. It was a square body style. So, but they were transitioning into the big Shamu orcas, you know, the
oh, old, yeah.
They were, yeah. They look like orca whales. Those Caprices, 93, I think, 92, 93 Caprices had an airbag, and the 92 Crown Vicks had an airbag. Actually, the Crown Vicks had them in 88, I think, 89. Well, if your airbag deployed, your engine stopped. So what would happen is on the east side of town, when these cops would go turn on the red lights, the bad guy would stop. As soon as the cops started to get out, they'd put it in reverse, in reverse at a, as hard as they could into the cop car. It would deploy his airbag, and then they would put it in gear and take off because the cop car's car wouldn't start.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I knew where you were going with that.
And we had a cop named Stoner. You know, it's funny. I can see his, because some cops would kill you for what I'm going about to tell you the story, right?
Okay.
But the real good cops who are tough guys that don't have to prove anything and have a great sense of humor, like this guy, right? He goes to stop some crackheads on the east side of town, and they do just that. They put it in reverse and run through the back into the grill of his cop car, right? Go to take off. Well, he jumps back in the cop car. Chase gives chase. They go a couple of blocks and do the same thing. They stop, back into him, take off. He gives chase. On the third time, I think third or fourth time, by that time, there was multiple cop cars that were able to surround the bullet vehicle or the target vehicle and take these people into custody, right?
Okay.
And they just couldn't figure out why it wasn't working. Now, because he had one of the last of the 89 Caprices, he didn't have an airbag. But, and he had, like I said, he was kind of, some guys nowadays would kill you, but he was just, okay, we're going to keep this up. We're going to keep this up, you know, because you're crackheads. And, you know, they pay me for this. They pay me for this. So the joke's on you. So that's the deal when they're bringing up the jail Booker. The joke's on you guys, man. There ain't no airbag in that car. Oh, shucks. Man, I wish we'd have known that.
Yeah, they might have got away.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. That's life, isn't it? Sometimes you just don't know what you don't know.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the From the Shadows podcast. Until next time, never shy away from the darkness. Or what may be lurking in the shadows. We are out.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.